It was 1956. I was what they used to call a cub reporter. Elvis Presley was establishing his national notoriety. He was 21. To disguise my own age, back in those days every newscaster sounded gray-haired, I affected one of those pompous news voices as I interviewed Elvis backstage at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles.
For someone like you come from Tennessee out here to Hollywood and break into this business the way you have?
That's a pretty tough question. I don't know. Like I said, I've just had some good breaks, and
How do the breaks come?
Television and stuff like that, and records, and I got RCA Victor contract. And I got on some of the big television shows, and I got better known by the people, and started selling my records more. And then I got a movie contract. Everything just seems to snap. That's exactly right.
Presley's rhythm and blues act seemed to clash with a Dorsey accompaniment. The reason, of course, was that Elvis was introducing an entirely new form of pop music to white listeners.
What happens with rhythm and blues? Is this just a fad? Are you just a fad? What happens next?
You tell me. I wish I knew.
What is rhythm and blues?
Rhythm and blues is just rock and roll. It's just it's a music. Rhythm and blues is not a... It's a craze, but it's a very good craze, and that there are some very beautiful songs recorded in rhythm and blues. If the people would just take time, some of the people who don't like it would just take time out to listen to it. There's some very beautiful songs, and for instance, Ivory Tower.
By June of 1956, Elvis Presley had already become the most controversial figure in America. In the South, white supremacists damned his music, claiming that it was Negro-inspired. Newsreel cameramen and newspaper photographers captured pictures of delirious teenagers swooning or tearing their clothes at his performances. One Northern California community issued a ban on what it referred to as the further distribution, sale, broadcast, public or private performance of so-called rhythm and blues music, on the grounds that it contributed to juvenile delinquency. But when I interviewed Presley in June of 1956, he couldn't quite understand, it seemed, what all the fuss was about. The only way he could explain the controversy over his music was to say...
Well, it makes the crowd go wild. I mean, if the people like it, they feel it. In other words, they can't sit still when they hear it.
I was just a wet-behind-the-ears cub reporter back in those days, trying hard to sound older, or at least like a newscaster. I thought I might be able to evoke some freedom of speech, or at least freedom of music, declaration from Elvis. So I raised the issue of the California ban.
It was outlawed just last week in a Northern California city. People have been saying that it's contributing to juvenile delinquency. I'm sure you don't agree with it.
I do not agree, not only because I do it, but because it's untrue. Rock and roll is a music. And why should a music contribute to rock and roll, contribute to juvenile delinquency? If people are going to be juvenile delinquents, they're going to be delinquents if they hear Mother Goose rhymes. Rock and roll does not contribute to juvenile delinquency at all. The only thing about it is, in some of the auditoriums, the kids get up and start dancing in the aisles, and they start squealing and everything and kicking the seats. Now that's the only thing that I know of. And that doesn't happen all the time. It just happens in some cases.
You are listening to Elvis performing on the Ed Sullivan Show in April 1957. Not all of his audiences were so enthusiastic. You will hear Elvis commenting on his first disastrous appearances in Las Vegas when this interview with him continues tomorrow. This is Lou Irwin, Earth News Radio, for Clairol Herbal Essence. On April 21st, 1956, Elvis Presley hit the top of Billboard's pop music chart for the first time. From then until the end of that year, he was off the number one spot only 10 weeks. Heartbreak Hotel was number one for 8 weeks, Hound Dog for 11, Love Me Tender for 5 weeks, and I Want You, I Need You, I Love You was number one for 1 week. He introduced Heartbreak Hotel on the Tommy Dorsey Show in January of that year, backed by the Dorsey Band.
Heartbreak Hotel, where I'll be so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely.
Not only had he become a big recording and TV star, but by the middle of 1956, he was earning another fortune making personal appearances. When I asked him in an interview back then how people around the country were reacting to him, he replied,
"Well, the reaction has been very well. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or anything, but the reaction has been very good. The people have accepted me very well."
Well, the bellhop's tears keep flowing.
But that was really not the entire truth. In Las Vegas, a few weeks earlier, he had bombed. Audiences sat silently watching him gyrate, and they left shaking their heads. But Elvis had an explanation for his Las Vegas flop.
There was no teenagers. I mean, the reaction was as well as anybody could expect. But it was only my imagination, because I was used to a bunch of howling, screaming teenagers. And in Las Vegas, there's no teenagers. They're all elderly folks. They're all older.
And in 1956, few people past the age of 25 had even heard the kind of music that Presley performed. It was natural for me to ask him then.
So rock and roll is a music for teenagers, you would say?
No, I didn't mean it that way. I mean, it's just that I was used to the screaming teenagers, and there was none out there.
Mm-hmm. It will be accepted, you think, more by older people soon?
I don't know about that either, but I just know that right now it's the biggest record selling business there is rock and roll.
How many records have you sold?
You mean all total or on one each individual record?
About all total.
Well, I guess I've sold 2.5 million.
This is Lou Irwin, Earth News Radio, for Clairol Herbal Essence.